This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
And welcome to everyone spread out across this campus and community, country. We got people watching from everywhere. Welcome to all of our church at home fam. We hope you are well. We know many are recovering. Many are in quarantine. And so we're glad that you're able to join us today. To those over at the chapel and the gathering place, I even saw a few brave deer hunters outside in our outdoor venues. And I know they're thinking, if I can sit in a deer stand, I can sit outside. And all the deer hunters said, amen. Raise your hand if you got your deer this year. Let me just see. Wow. All right. Very good. All right. Congratulations. And the outdoor seating's right out there. If you want to feel like you're in a tree stand, we created that. Special space, and no guns, though. We don't want you to bring your rifles onto campus, but we're glad that you're here. We want to just begin today with a journey of God's faithfulness and your stewardship, and we want to just give several thank yous to start off our time today, as it is Thanksgiving week, and as Matt just shared, what a great time to say thank you to you, the Woodland Hills family, and we say it almost every week, but we want to start by just saying thank you, Woodland Hills, for your generosity. And I just want to walk you through the last several years, and just, I'm still shaking my head at all that God has done through this church family. You know, for years, the early years of our church, we would have a reserve fund, and that was just for emergencies, that if something were to happen, bad weather days or whatever, we'd be able to continue to support missionaries, ministries here at the church and in town. And for years, that reserve account was $100,000. And then Jim Sedlicek became an elder at our church over 10 years ago, and he said, a church this size and with all that's going on and all those who are counting on us, that seems pretty low. So he raised it to $200,000, and then he left to go move to Phoenix to be with his kids, and while he was gone the first year or two, somehow that reserve account grew to $400,000. Again, just emergency money we would keep around to in case something, I don't know, like a pandemic were to hit. And when Jim passed away last January, he gifted our church $200,000, and we said, let's put that into the Jim Sedlicek Emergency Fund, which is what we always called that. And then somehow, between that time last year and March, the emergency fund grew to $800,000, and then March hit. And we all stood up here in the middle of March, canceled. I mean, we had nothing going on campus. And when the cameras turned off on that first Sunday after Joe White spoke, and the Sunday after that, it was a very emotional time for our team and for the entertainers that serve in our worship ministries. And remember, at this point in March, we hadn't heard of things like PPP loans, and we hadn't heard of the $600 extra that people were going to be getting on unemployment. And our elders said, this is why we have this. This will be a time, as whoever knows how long the campus has to be closed down. But we've got this money. We'll use it during this time. And I just want to make sure you know, between that time in March and September, somehow we were able to grow the reserve fund to $1 million. So not only did we not spend out of it, but the reserve account grew. And I want you to know, I know a lot of churches took it, but we did not take the PPP loan. We just have said from the very beginning, for over 18 years, this church has had zero debt. Woo! Forgivable loan or not forgivable. There's a Dave Ramsey fan down there. So we just did not take the PPP, and we're just blown away at all that God has done. And a couple of weeks ago, someone walked into the office and handed us a check for $562,000. And a gentleman who considered Woodland Hills Family Church his home passed away last August and left that to us. And so we immediately did what we do with all gifts that come into this church, as we gave to the ministries in town, to missions, which is 13% of everything that comes in immediately goes in. The reserve account now is up to $1.5 million at the end of this year in the middle of a pandemic, and we can say, only God. I need you to know, we never planned on this. I woke up this morning with the thought, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord that directs the steps. We never set out to have this, and some of you are going, do we still need to take offerings? Okay? Yes, because I want to participate in this. I want to be a part of this. Someone's like, is it good stewardship for a church to have that kind of money in reserve? Well, to be honest with you, it's been called an emergency reserve, but as we've grown toward this number, we may be calling this very soon a building fund. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're new to our church, you need to know this is rented space that we're in. When it comes to kind, benevolent, and gracious landlords, you will not find a more kind, benevolent, gracious landlord than the Hershen Family Entertainment Corporation. We've been renting from them for about 16 years, but this is commercial space. We've always been told on a year-to-year lease that they could sell it or develop it, and we understand that, and we're in line with that. And last year, it actually, before the pandemic, before we even heard of COVID-19, it started to ramp up conversations that we may need to consider other facilities. So I'm here today to announce we're moving to Andy Williams. No, I'm not announcing that. We're not doing that. But we're grateful because I know many organizations and churches that have been struggling during this season. I've visited a lot of churches over the past year that went into the pandemic with high debt and large staffs, and this has been a very difficult season for them as they've laid off staff, as they've had to put so much money that could have been used in ministry into buildings they're no longer using. I mean, it's been a challenge. I'm grateful, Woodland Hills, for your stewardship and for the commitments that you've made and how you continue to give. Offerings are above budget every week, which allows us to do Care for Kids, which allows us to do the summer feeding program in Haiti for all the kids in school. It allows us to support camps in Tanzania. Bob and Dee, I know, watch. We're grateful for your ministry. From Indonesia to international students on college campuses all across the country, there's so much that continues on, and we want to encourage your generosity as we praise the Lord for what he has done here. And we're grateful that a time comes. And I've never said this before, but I think it would make sense right now for me to encourage all of you to consider Woodland Hills in your estate planning. Can I get an amen on that one right there? I have plans, if the Lord calls me home anytime soon, that Woodland Hills is a part of that. And I just want to encourage your generosity as we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what next year looks like. We don't know how long we're going to be in this space. But how much more does God need to show us for us to know he is faithful? And he has plans for us that we haven't even been able to comprehend yet. So thank you for that. I also want to say thank you for your patience, especially at 10 a.m. I'll say it again. Thank you for your patience. COVID restrictions will probably be here for a while longer. And we're doing the best we can to work through them. And we know it can be challenging and frustrating for many of you sitting in other venues who wanted to sit in a different venue. We get that. But we just thank you for your patience with each other and with your church family. I want to say thank you to your ministry for your ministry to others. I love getting texts from people saying so-and-so just tested positive and we're taking groceries over. It's not something they have to call the church to figure out how. They're just doing the work of ministry. Someone texted me yesterday and said, I'm working with people right now and serving them and taking care of families. And that is going on in this church and in this community all over. And so thank you for that. And lastly, I want to say thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for one another in the first service as well as in this service. I see many who have recovered from COVID, and for that we are grateful. Our prayers continue to go out for those of you at home, many who are staying home because of quarantine. You've recovered. Many of you are staying home because you tested positive recently. We also know we have many watching right now who have lost family to this, and so we are called as a church to mourn with those who mourn, and so we mourn with you today as well, and our prayers go to you, and we will continue to pray for one another. The reason we did the Great Race series and talked so much about endurance and commitment is because we've set in a little bit with the fatigue in this, and many of us in the early stages of the pandemic were saying things like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I've never said I don't know more in my life than all the way through summer. But for some, it's moved from I don't know to I don't care. And I'm speaking with people, we're ministering to people who are ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to throw in the towel on businesses that they've tried to keep going throughout all this. They're ready to throw in the towel on jobs and walk away from jobs. I just spoke this weekend with a couple ready to throw in the towel on their marriage. And grateful that they've got scheduled a marriage intensive for January, after the holidays. People are ready to throw in their towels on relationships. I see it all the time on social media, people saying, if you don't do this, if you don't believe this, if you're not acting this way, I'm done with you, unfriend me. People are saying, hey, I'm done with this relationship. They're throwing in the towels on relationships. Today we're talking about the race that we, as followers of Jesus, are not called to throw in the towel on. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep running. And here's the passage that we've been using through this series. And just like you would pour out this offering on the ground or on the altar, the Apostle Paul is saying, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. He's not talking about leaving a city. He's not talking about continuing on in a missionary journey. He's talking about his death, that his time upon this earth is coming to an end. And then he uses these two great word pictures. I have fought the good fight, and I'm going to bring boxing in a little bit today with this. And I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, continuing on, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. This is a crown. It's a reward given for endurance, for commitment, for those believers who have longed for his appearing. I want to make it very clear. Today, he's not talking about salvation, the gift of salvation. He's talking about a reward for believers who endure. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Commentator Hampton Keithley, he describes the crown of righteousness this way. It's a reward given for faithfulness to use our gifts and opportunities in the service of the Lord and for loving his appearing. He goes on to say, what are we going to do with these crowns? The casting of crowns. Some of you, it's your favorite group. Because Christ alone is worthy, he says, and because we can only be fruitful when we abide in him. Okay, so ultimately, Jesus is our ultimate reward. But we're talking about the reward that we receive today for endurance and not quitting on this race. When we abide in him, allowing his life to fill ours, we will all cast our crowns, whatever we receive, before him in recognition that all we have done is by his grace and for his glory. What Paul is speaking of today in the race is this, and here's the race marked out for you. The race begins the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it ends the moment you die. It ends the moment you take your final breath or the Lord returns. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, the race is described as 70 years upon this earth, 80 if you're strong, but those years are filled with sorrow and anguish, meaning this race is going to look different at different times. The goal for us today is that we get to the finish line without quitting. That we keep running. We keep fighting. We have purpose in what we're doing. Here's the race set out for you and set out for me is going to have uphill climbs. 2020 has been an uphill climb. An uphill climb full of fatigue. There are going to be moments of downhill jogs. Adam and Shay both shared that they've done one marathon, and that was it. Had I known them earlier, they wouldn't have even done that one marathon. I would have been able to talk them out of that marathon pretty quick. Travis Bronner has done 5 marathons. I'm the only teaching team member who's never done a marathon, and you're going, really? So it's going to have mountaintops, and it's going to have valleys. It's going to have long stretches, plateaus. There's going to be times people are cheering you on for fulfilling your calling and using your gifts and serving and ministering to people are going to be cheering, but there's going to be plenty of lonely stretches as well. Through the woods, through the desert, and you can guarantee this, your race is going to have plenty of rocky trails. But the tension for us today, and we see it, if you've been in church for any length of time, you know there are some Christians, not all Christians, but some Christians give it all in the early miles of the race, but quit before the finish line. They give it all. They become new believers and they're on fire. They're ready to go. They're sharing their faith. They're with other believers every opportunity they get. They are studying the Bible morning, noon, and night. They're running hard. I asked Travis early on, Adam mentioned it in the first part of this series when I said, Travis, if the pandemic were a marathon, what mile are we on? And he said, we're probably in mile 16 to 20. And he said, Ted, mile 20 is when most people hit the wall. So you're either throwing in the towel or you're hitting the wall. And he said, that's why that fatigue has set in. And that's why people need to be encouraged. But what is the finish? I think there's three reasons why people quit before they get to the finish line. We're going to focus mainly on the third one today, but just to talk about these first two briefly. Some quit because they think they are finished. They think the race is over for them. And my encouragement for you this morning is simply this. Don't mistake milestones as the finish line. Milestones along the way. Milestones are something we can celebrate. But sometimes Christians look at these milestones as finish lines. In other words, the finish line is not your graduation. If you've ever been to a graduation, typically they're saying this is the start for you. The race we're talking about today is at the moment of your salvation. Mom and Dad, I hate to tell you, but the finish line is not when your last child leaves home. They say it costs, what, $268,000 to raise a kid from 0 to 18. Some of you have four kids. You're millionaires. I bet you didn't even know that. But you celebrate when that last kid leaves home, and that's a great milestone. We love milestones, but they're not finish lines. For some, it's retirement. And boy, the first service got very excited, nervous at first on this point. But I'm here to tell you, retirement from a job, that's great, and we'll celebrate that, and we will be part of eating the sheet cake with you. But it is not the finish line of your race. And I feel we need to say that even clearer because we live in this town called Branson, Missouri. Listen, all my Treasure Lake friends, I love you. Enjoy your camper. Spend time there. Anybody here from Treasure Lake? Let me see the Treasure Lake folks. They're usually in the first service because they're up at like 4. I love the Treasure Lake family. Retire and enjoy your retirement, but your race is far from over. And you saw it at the CMA Awards with Red Akins, Reba McEntire, and Chris Tomlin. I love this lyric and the song that they sang. Yeah, you only get one go around because the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. But we believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and you will live even though you die. The finish line is not these milestones. Some quit due to injury. Some quit due to other runners. Have you ever known anybody to quit their race because of something that was said that they got offended by? I get letters like this all the time. Something was set up here that just set them off the wrong way and they're gone. Like sometimes the injury, people get hurt. Sometimes they let that injury take them out for the long haul. And we'll talk about that more in just a second. What you can do with other runners. But here's what we're really focusing on today. Some quit because they didn't train. We're going to see today in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this idea of a race. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to jump into verse 24. In the first two verses we'll look at today, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Now, Corinthian readers would really understand this word picture of a race because they had the Isthmian Games. They were biennial games that took place in Corinth, and part of these games included an endurance race. The endurance race required 10 months of mandatory training. You didn't complete the training, you didn't compete in the race. So they can get into this word picture that the Apostle Paul is going to share with them as he compares the endurance race to our faith and to life upon this earth. But only one gets the prize, as we're going to see today. This prize, the crown, is available for all. Endurance for all. I want to make it clear again what we're talking about. We're not talking about the gift of salvation. We're talking about the reward for endurance. Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. John Piper, comparing these two, I love his illustration. He says, the serious athlete doesn't just ask how to get by in training. Muhammad Ali, once when he was asked about training, hey, tell us about your training. He started off by saying, I hate every single minute of my training. Why do we train? What's the point of training? He asked, what will bring about maximum performance? That's why we train. So the mature Christian asks, what will make me most useful for the kingdom? What will stir up my zeal for God the most? I've been this year spending a lot of time encouraging couples at events with this. Marital satisfaction depends on factors and skills couples can do something about in any season or stage of life. And right now we're in a very difficult season. And a lot of times we just want out of this season. That's how we're going to get through it. And our marriage will get better once we're out of this season. And I would tell them, I can't do anything for the season that you're in. How about the stage of life? I said, if you came today with a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old, you're going home to a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. I can't change your stage. But what we can do is look at the factors and skills necessary to experience high levels of marital satisfaction in any season or stage. I was at First Baptist Dallas a few hours before the event, and I actually, in autocorrect, got a hold of it, but I was able to stop it before I made the mistake I made in Arizona once, where I told people to come to a fun date night, and autocorrect sent out where we're going to be discovering the 6 levels of communism. I was able to delete that tweet. At First Baptist Dallas, I was about to tweet out, hey, join us tonight where we'll be looking at the factors and skills necessary to achieve high levels of marijuana satisfaction. And if you type M-A-R-I in your phone, you'll know that all the developers for your phone are in Colorado, because the first thing that comes up is marijuana. And I said, and I had it all typed out, and I always read it back now. Oh, you're going to discover high levels of marijuana satisfaction. And then I said, let's roll. And so I deleted that tweet immediately, and we moved on. In this season and stage, I don't know how useful it is for you, for me, to sit here and figure out, how do we get out of it? 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 What about asking, what will make me most useful in this season? What will bring my zeal up for the Lord? How can I learn and how can I grow through this difficult time? And it's really the difference between a casual Christian and a committed Christian. There's only one. You know what the difference between a casual and a committed Christian? Strict training. Someone who's preparing for this race. Someone who's on guard in this race. Someone who's not even thinking about throwing in the towel. If there's something I'm missing to make my race continue, if there's something I'm missing to bring more glory to God, if there's something I'm missing to stir my zeal for the Lord, then I must start training again for that. And here's what we know about this race. This race is not a competition with one another. So I don't feel one ounce of need to compete with our friends at Bloom Church, with our friends at First Baptist Branson, with our friends at First Presbyterian Church. Why? Because we're all runners in the same race. And here's what I know. That means for me, as I'm thinking about the passion and the pursuit that Paul had to live out his calling, I'm going to stay in my lane and cheer you on as you run. Well, we're not used to that. Someone runs alongside me or maybe gets ahead of me. It's like, how do I get ahead? No. We're called to cheer each other on in this race. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what God has called me to do. Do you know what you're called to do? Do you know what your race includes? Don't let another runner take you out of the race. Don't let another runner say something or do something that causes injury in you, and you're done, and you're just going to quit. And here's what your race includes, some things you need to think about with strict training. Do you know your calling? Do you know what the Lord has placed in you to complete in this race? Do you know your spiritual gifts that were given to you at the moment of your salvation? Are you in training to discover those? Have you been discipled in those? Do you know what they are? Do you know how to lean into them? Do you know how to find other runners or other voices speaking into your life and helping you discover what your spiritual gifts are? God's given you a unique personality. And as your pastor, I can say some of you have been given a very, very interesting personality, but it's for God's glory. How are you going to use it? How about your passions? There are people in here passionate about marriage, people passionate in here about fostering and adoption. There are people passionate in here about the unborn. There are people passionate about youth and young adults, and passions are different for each person, but this is the lane that you've been given. You have experience. You have life experience. How are you leveraging that? Rather than just saying, well, I did this, I'll just put it aside, and I'm just going to kind of coast downhill the rest of my race. But how are you using your experience and leveraging that for God's glory and ministering to other people and your abilities? Jerry Falwell, the founder of Liberty University, Amy and I heard it every single Wednesday coming into chapel. He would speak every Wednesday, and his favorite thing to call us was young champions for Christ. He goes, young champions. He would always start it out that way. Young champions. And then it was a pep talk almost every week. He would go, I don't care what field you're going into. I don't care what job you're taking. But when you step foot in that door, you will be a champion for Christ. If you're a nurse, you walk into that hospital every day as a champion for Christ. If you're into construction, you walk onto that construction site every day a champion for Christ. If you're an accountant, a lawyer, whatever it is you're called to do it as a champion for Christ. And that's why he said, Liberty exists, we're training up champions for Christ. And we were in strict training. It takes me on the journey. I had to use this illustration because I think most of us relate to it. If you've not watched them, you've got some catching up to do. But we can all go back to the moment of Rocky I. And do you remember? He's a scrappy fighter. He trained himself. He was alone, but he's running. We all have wanted to do that moment, running up the stairs, getting to the top and cheering. And now, and you're like, yeah, do that with the Rocky statue now. Well, they got the Rocky statue on street level in Philadelphia. I don't know why, but you can get your picture with it. But you should still run the stairs. Remember that? And then we know Rocky I and Rocky II, he takes on Apollo Creed. He doesn't win in the first one, but he trains just as hard in the second one, and we know the outcome of that. He wins. He becomes the world champion. And then it all fell apart in Rocky III. Things got weird in Rocky III. We all can admit it got very weird in Rocky III. And you know what the main theme of Rocky III was? Training and the fact that Rocky got lazy. He got lazy. You have to admit it. He went out of the neighborhood and the neighborhood gym, and he goes to this posh hotel. They're selling shirts, bubbles, and they got a live band, Rocky Showboat. And when he's doing reps, he's just real. Not when a girl comes over, can I get a kiss? And he said, oh, sure. Pauses in a workout to get a kiss. He's posing for pictures. And who gets ticked off? Mickey. Mickey is frustrated. He's mad the whole time. A little bubble comes floating down, and Mickey goes, yeah. I mean, just mad. He's telling Rocky the whole time, let's go back to the gym. We got to get back to the gym and get back to real workouts and strict training. Because the whole time, who's he getting ready for? Clubber Lang. And Clubber Lang, he's in the basement with Joe Biden. Stop it. Stop laughing at that. Are we okay with political humor yet or no? No? Too soon? Too soon. Clubber Lang, he's doing the training of Rocky I and Rocky II. Rocky loses. And if you've not seen the movie, Mickey passes away, and it's a rough time. And Rocky's head is not right. He just can't train. And who enters in? Apollo Creed steps back into Rocky III. And some of you are like, what is he wearing? It's only one word to describe it, and that's 80s. That's what Apollo's wearing. But you remember the scene. Rocky's not giving it his all. His head's not in the game. And Apollo gets to the end of the race. And Apollo's in great shape. Apollo turns around and starts yelling at Rocky, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? And then it clicks. And Rocky begins strict training again. And I have to share it because it's the most awkward man hug in movie history. And we know how the story ends. Rocky takes out Clubber Lang. And I'm just wondering for many of us here, for those of you who are ready to throw in the towel, I'm just telling you, it's time to get back in the gym. It's time to get back to strict training. Let's continue with the text this morning. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, meaning I'm running with purpose. I'm fulfilling my calling. I'm using my spiritual gifts. I'm using my experience. I'm using my passions. I'm using the abilities that God has given me, and I'm going to run, and I'm going all the way to the finish line. I'm not stopping at the milestones. I don't run aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The word there actually means disapproved for the prize. My encouragement for many of you is to get back into the gym. I want to encourage for those of you who are at home watching right now, this is going to be a time of pause and reflect for all of us. I want to encourage you, if you're staying home because of the virus, because of underlying health conditions, from the very beginning until right now, we honor all decisions, and we continue to honor that. But there are many of you who are staying home, and yet you're doing everything else. I just want to encourage you, get back into the gym. Get back into strict training. This race has come to a place of fatigue, and many of you are hitting the wall, and many of you are disconnecting from biblical community. You haven't read your Bible in months. You haven't fellowshipped with other believers. You're just trying to ride I can't encourage you enough to get back into the gym. We always look at this through the five purposes of the church. And for many, you have to get back to worship. If you're watching this on demand and you haven't watched a service for months or years or for the remainder of this year, I can't encourage you enough to begin worshiping again with your church family. Find creative ways to fellowship, to get back into the gym with fellowship, fellowshipping with one another, connecting with one another. These are the five purposes of our church. These are the five purposes of your life. Discipleship. We see this happen all the time when it comes to a new Bible study that people want to attend. Bible studies start off so strong and they're packed. We have waiting lists for the Bible studies, the growth gatherings that we do. But we know how it works. By the end of the growth gathering or by the end of the Bible study, we're typically down to about 50% of where we started. Don't just get back to the gym, stay in the gym. Continue to know what it means to be more like Jesus. Grow in your knowledge of the word and allow the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the teaching of scripture to become part of your life and your family. Ministry. Some of you need to get back to not just caring for you and your family, and you need to start buying toilet paper for other people. Try that. And it'll get, when toilet paper was on a ration the first time, which I guess we're headed back there again, the only ones I could find were single rolls that you see in like hotel rooms, like stacked up, and they're not really good on the hind end, if you know what I mean. They're a little scratchy, I'm just gonna say it. But I bought as many as I could anyway, and I would just drive by random members' homes and roll down my window and throw it out onto their front yard. And so now that's a benevolent, generous church, right? One roll of toilet paper from a hotel tossed on. They're probably thinking, he stole this from a hotel. No, I bought that. The lotions and the shampoo, that I stole from the hotel. So, but you need to get back to not just thinking about yourself. Some of you are ready to throw in the towel because since March, you've been consumed with yourself. You're not using your gifts and your passions and your experience to serve other people. You want to fast track in this race? You want to get running again? Man, think of somebody else, serve somebody else besides yourself. And then evangelism. Do you remember in the early miles of the race when you became a believer, you were telling every family member and every friend about the Lord? That passion, where's that passion now? Where's that zeal now? Get that stirred back up to where you're serving. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Chapter 15, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the passion of this church, the goal of this church, is we want you to start well, and we want you to finish well. We want you to long for his appearing and live in light of it. That's our prayer for you, that you won't throw in the towel. I've been encouraging couples right now, because obviously I get a lot of calls and messages from couples who are ready to quit and throw in the towel. And I've just, again, this is pastorally just the way I've tried to handle it. I know when I'm emotional, which is, it's just not a good time to make major decisions for my life. I know late at night, not a good time for me to make decisions for my life. And I've worked with some couples right now, ready to throw in the towel. And I'm just telling them, now, I just think right now, with the fatigue setting in from this, that you need to continue to run your race, spend more time focusing on what are my spiritual gifts, what are my passions, what are my experiences, what's laid out before me. I'm going to run, I'm going to cheer on the runners that are running alongside of me, and I'm going to find a way to continue to run, to continue to serve. And less time focused on how you can change your spouse, more time focused on running your race. I think this can be applied to so many places where people are wanting to quit and people are wanting to give up. I'm going to pray. We're not dismissed after I pray, because we have a video that we want to share with you to kind of let you know what's coming for the Christmas season that begins next week. But let me pray over you and let you know the prayer team will be down front. Care pastors will be down front. Whatever you're considering throwing the towel in on, if you're considering quitting this race, giving up on this race, don't leave here today without finding someone to pray with, to be encouraged with. Connect with us online. We would love to encourage you as well. Pray with me. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you for the race that you have set before us, and may we run it. May we leverage everything from abilities to experience, the spiritual gifts that you have placed within us. May we run with these, use these, serve these. May we go into strict training for those areas that we need to learn more about. May we grow, be discipled in these areas. I pray as we go into the Christmas season, it can already be a lonely time for many. Now add to it those who are not able to be with or spend time with family because of the virus. I pray comfort for them. For those who are mourning, this church family mourns with them. For those who are sick, we pray for their healing and their speedy recovery from this. We thank you for what you continue to do in this church. You have been faithful. You will continue to be faithful. And as you were with us yesterday, you will be with us today. And as you're with us today, you will be with us tomorrow and proving yourself faithful. And for that, we are grateful. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said,